is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today podcast. What's up, everybody? Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. Man, I missed this show yesterday. That was tough. I was dying to podcast.
You're dying?
I was very upset. I really, really wanted to do the show. So, sorry,
you could have
everybody.
Come over to my house and we would have done it at my house. Could have had my son on the air, my daughter, my wife.
Yeah, I'm glad I missed that.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been a good show.
It would have been a little crazy.
Yeah, it would have been. And we survived Hurricane Matthew and we're very thankful. It did not really hit South Florida that badly. So we're hopeful that everybody's as lucky as we are. I know it's a pretty big storm and hopefully everybody's safe. But we're here to talk fantasy football. We're going to do sort of a condensed version of two shows, start or sit. We're going to do every single game, tell you who we like and who we don't like. Also, talk about last night's game, which just really took away from a great baseball game that was on another channel. That's all I wanted to watch. That was a tough game to watch last night. Got fun in the second half, I guess, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. Hey, guys. No team goes into the season without a game plan. Buffalo Wild Wings knows that football fans need a game plan that's built for game day glory. A game plan that should include 21 signature sauces and seasonings, a great lineup of beer taps, and an arsenal of wall-to-wall TVs. All of those details make for a game day game plan that can't be beat. So win or lose, if you're a football fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere around. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. We do it for you because you're a football fan. All right, let's talk about last night's game. Arizona 33, San Francisco 21. Jeremy Curley, 5% owned. How owned should he be next week?
10. People are going to react to it because of the 100 yards and a touchdown against Arizona on a short week, and it was nice. But how often is he getting 13 targets? How often is he getting
two good
eight
games
catches?
In a row
weekly,
here?
Weekly, he's going to get filled with targets because he's the only one that Blaine Gabbert can throw to.
What happens when Blaine Gabbert gets benched?
Then you're talking about him being at worst the second best target because maybe Torrey Smith gets a bump.
Is there anything exciting about Curley? Like, he's a bye week receiver for me. Maybe in a deeper
that's
league.
That's fine. I like Bruce Ellington coming into the year. This was the role Bruce Ellington was going to play. The slot receiver for Chip Kelly has always been good. He's the slot receiver for Chip Kelly. He's going to get fed targets. I think in PPR leagues, he's going to be in the same conversation weekly as Cole Beasley, as Jameson Crowder.
As Michael
he's
Floyd.
He's better than Michael Floyd at this point.
Are you guys dropping Michael Floyd?
Yes, you have to.
He's about a third of the snaps of Brown and Fitzgerald last night.
After that drop, he barely saw the field.
Same thing happened last week, too.
Yep. They have to get him off the field.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
He's just not converting over. Just a fun note on Curley. His first three games this season, 10 fantasy points combined.
Yeah.
Last 2 weeks, 30 fantasy points.
Well, he also had a good week one.
Hey, it's six.
Five points? 6 points?
6 points in week one.
Standard. PPR is going to be good. He had six catches in week one?
I guess so.
All right.
I'm looking at it right now.
So usually we spend more time talking about the games, but since we missed yesterday's show, for you Spaceballs fan, this is the ludicrous speed episode of Fantasy Football Today. So your news and notes, Ravens are probably getting their left tackle Ronnie Stanley back this week against the Redskins. Latavius Murray expected to miss this week's game, so the Chargers do give up a lot of fantasy points to opposing running backs, but I think only 3.6 yards per carry. Anyway, who's your favorite Raiders running back? DeAndre Washington is 69% owned, Jalen Richard 28% owned. And what do you think this week, Dave Richard?
I think they're the same guy, so they're just going to mix and match those two, but they're not going to be the only two because they've got Jamiz Olawale, who will also be in the mix. And Tywan Jones could be back. So what have we learned from the Raiders so far this season? None of their running backs get more than 10 carries a game, save for DeMarco in week one. Since then, it's been mix and match. I like Washington the best. He's my favorite.
You mixed up your Murrays.
What
you said DeMarco, sir.
I said what?
You said DeMarco.
DeMarco?
Yeah, Murray.
What?
You threw me off.
Yeah. I don't. DeAndre Washington is who I like.
Okay, who would you start DeAndre Washington over this week?
Matt Forte.
Wow. I can't do that.
DeAndre Washington, there was a report before last week's game that the Raiders wanted to get in more work. I think he's going to get the
and
most
And then he
carries.
Fumbled when they gave him more
yeah,
work.
Yeah, I think they're going to give him the majority of carries in this week's game.
I think there's no chance of that the way that they've been operating. And Jalen Richard has
so if
been
he gets,
just
if he gets
as good
nine
as
and the other guy gets eight, that's not getting the majority of carries?
What's up?
If he gets nine and the other guy gets
okay,
eight.
Okay, when I think of majority, I'm thinking one guy getting 15
carries. He'll be the lead running back.
Five.
Richard will be second. And they'll work in the other guys, especially Ozawali, whatever the hell his name is, at the goal
They're
line.
Both flex guys. I would start Forte over both of them.
Cameron Artis Payne or DeAndre Washington?
Washington.
How about Jerick McKinnon or DeAndre Washington?
McKinnon.
All right.
Yeah.
So again, Washington 69% owned, and only two teams, the Redskins and the Saints,
get him now.
Have
it's
allowed more rushing touchdowns than San Diego this year. Back to the news and notes here on Fantasy Football Today. Tyler Eifert and Eric Ebron both expected to miss this week's game. Is that right?
Yes.
Logan Verrett out for the year with a partially torn ACL.
Who?
So, Verrett. Jason Verrett.
Oh.
Who's Logan Verrett? I think he's on the Mets.
What's Logan Verrett?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who?
What is going on today? He's out for the year with a partially torn ACL. They have the Raiders on the road. So what does that mean for Raiders wide receivers, guys?
It's going to help them tremendously. I already liked Crabtree to begin with because I didn't think that Stan Verrett was going to be on Tom Crabtree that much. But now that Vinny Verrett is going to miss the game, you could see Stanley Cooper go one-on-one with whoever the hell they're putting there.
Logan Verrett is on the Mets. So
Brandon Flowers is also banged up too, so it should be all systems go.
Brian Flowers?
Brandon Flowers.
Do you expect LeGarrette Blount this week?
Yes.
Yes.
Julian Edelman?
Yes.
He got hurt in practice on Thursday. Let's see what happens on Friday.
Andrew Luck?
Yes.
Antonio Gates?
I want to see that Friday report before I put him back in my rankings. I don't want to put him back in my rankings.
Demaryius Thomas?
Yes.
Yes.
Kyle Rudolph?
Yes.
Stephon Diggs?
Yes.
Yeah, but I wonder if that groin injury is what's slowing him down.
Alshon Jeffrey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Marvin Jones?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jeremy Hill?
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Siemian?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Where do you guys have Trevor Siemian ranked?
12.
17.
Why so low, sir?
A lot of handoffs coming this week.
But gosh, Atlanta, they're worst team in fantasy against quarterbacks.
And he's also banged up.
Dez Bryant.
If he was that banged up, he wouldn't play, in which case Paxton Lynch would be a pretty good
They could also start him, see how he does, and then pull him.
Yeah, that's true. Dez Bryant is someone I would not start. I would not expect him.
And Eric Decker.
Decker.
He's going to try out today, see how he feels. But I would say no. Don't expect him.
One shoulder Deca.
So who are some of your favorites this week, guys?
Steve Smith. I think last week it was kind of a funny play for him. But I really like the matchup against Washington. I like him and Terrence West a lot. I know Kenneth Dixon's coming back and he's going to get reps this week. Can't imagine he's going to take the job from Terrence West after what West did last week. Both those Ravens are going to be really good.
Carson Wentz should go nuts. Especially with DeAndre Levy. And Ezekiel Ansah not expected to play again. It's a good situation for him getting Zach Ertz back. He's our start of the week this week. So Wentz, I think, is in line for a big day.
DeSean Jackson or Steve Smith?
I believe I have Smith ranked higher.
DeSean gets Sharice Wright this week.
I don't know if he gets him every single play. It's just going to be whenever he lines up on that side. I've got him back to back.
It's so annoying with DeSean Jackson. Two good games, two bad games.
Yeah,
never
but the pattern's the good game, though.
Yeah, I guess so. A leading wide receiver has scored multiple touchdowns against Baltimore in three straight games. That's amazing. Corey Coleman, Allen Robinson, Michael Crabtree.
So that should be well for Jordan Reed.
Exactly. I mean, he had the dream matchup against Cleveland last week and 0 points, 1 point.
He had very little, but he
one catch for 5 yards is 0 points.
Zero. Yeah. All right, zero in standard, one in PPR. I got it right.
If it's decimal scoring, it's 1 point and half PPR.
Who else? I'm sure you've been getting a lot of questions. Who do I start? This guy, this guy, this guy. Has there been anyone that you've been consistently saying yes to?
DeAndre Hopkins.
You've been saying yes to DeAndre Hopkins?
No.
No, I mean, to DeAndre Hopkins.
You got
to
start him unless you're just loaded. So if you have Jaxon Smith, you can start them over Hopkins. But for the most part, people are going to still start Hopkins with the hope that he has the Kelvin Benjamin game in week one against a tough opponent. But I mean,
but not the Kelvin Benjamin game in week three
against this opponent.
Right.
No, so it's scary. It's Will tough. Fuller, too. I mean,
Fuller, I think more people can get away from because he wasn't drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the Todd Gurley situation. You keep rolling out the guy that you drafted early. And Hopkins, it's unfortunate that he's had two duds coming into this game.
Yeah.
So do you keep him out there for 30? I own Hopkins in a PPR league. I'm still starting. If it was standard, I probably would consider benching.
I think it really depends on who else you have and who you feel comfortable going with over him.
Devontae Parker.
No chance. I'll take Hopkins.
I'll take Parker all day against Parrish Cox.
I don't think it's going to be Parker all day against Parrish.
Well, when they go two wide receivers, he's the guy that's there still.
How Terrence West or Hopkins?
West. Steve Smith, Crabtree.
DeAndre Washington.
No.
Hopkins?
Still Hopkins.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, what about in a standard league? Could you swing it in a standard league in the flex?
It's close.
They both have, you know, boomer bust type potential. The problem isn't Hopkins, by the way, as much as it is Osweiler. No.
Well, this week it's Xavier
this
Rhodes.
Week he's facing a tough matchup.
It's a tough matchup
you
for him.
You mean the overall problem?
What I mean is it's tougher for Osweiler, who's, you know, two steps away from being Ryan Fitzpatrick on the interception scale.
How do you feel about Todd Gurley this week?
Against Buffalo?
Yeah.
I feel like we're in that same place with him where unless you're just in good shape
I
running back.
I love that they threw him the ball five times last week. That was great. If they keep that up, he's going to start to break out some big numbers.
Yeah, I looked, though. He had a stretch. I know I said this on the Monday podcast. I don't remember the exact numbers. He had like a 5 or 6 game stretch every game. He was getting 3-ish catches, which was good, and then he had like 5 the rest of the season in his last 6 games. These stats are all like a little bit off, but you get the point. He wasn't consistent in the passing game. I don't think fantasy owners can bank on Todd Gurley being part of the passing game in this contest.
Not yet.
Not yet. We've got to see it again, maybe.
But it's a nice little sweetener for him if he does. And I think it could happen if they're playing from behind.
He talked about wanting to be more involved in the passing game, basically begging for it. And maybe now they're finally starting to come around because they got to get him touches.
So Forte or Gurley?
Gurley.
Gurley. I don't like Forte at all this week.
Where do you have him ranked?
21 or 22 just because there's no good running back.
You like Powell better?
No, but it's getting close. I mean, if they continue to use him in the passing game. Forte's dealing with some rib injury. There was also a report of maybe a knee injury. I just don't see him healthy right now. All that work in the first couple games may have caught up to him. He's 30-plus years old, 30 years old, and this is what happens with these guys. You know, if you don't have Bilal Powell on your roster right now, you're making a mistake.
Yeah, totally. Theo Riddick, PPR, or Todd Gurley?
Gurley.
Gurley. I don't really like Riddick that much this week either.
You punks let him go in PPR league. I picked him up this morning.
Nice. You say you punks. Somebody tried to pick him up that after somebody else dropped him. So
did you?
Of course I tried to.
Oh, yeah. Well, not Dave picked up DeAndre Washington over Theo Riddick.
Yes, I did.
Punk.
Well, no, that's not exactly how it worked out. He dropped him, then I had to drop Washington.
Oh, you dropped Theo Riddick.
I dropped Washington before the news of Latavius Murray happened because I needed a quarterback this week. He's the only guy I had to drop.
So we're all very involved in the Theo Riddick, DeAndre Washington.
There's a lot of dominoes that have fallen.
Yeah.
If I would have known Latavius Murray had a toe injury, I wouldn't have dropped him, clearly.
Right.
So
Dave, you dropped Theo Riddick?
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate that. He does stink, but PPR?
PPR, he's still good.
Need a running back? He's my guy. All right, fine. Let's get into the games. Washington and Baltimore. Which quarterback do you like better here, guys? Cousins or Flacco?
Flacco.
Cousins.
Okay. Is it close?
Yes.
It is.
I don't know how to feel about either.
Oh, wait.
Guys.
I do have Cousins right here. Can we start over? Start over.
All right. Who do you like better in this game, Cousins or Flacco?
Cousins.
Jamie?
Still the same.
Okay, consensus. Cousins it is.
Can I just say that the reason why I did the knee jerk for Flacco was because he was at home. And he still came through last week. I just don't like the fact they didn't have multiple passing touchdowns. And Cousins, what is it, 3 straight weeks now with 20 or more fantasy points?
Yep.
Sometimes you lose sight of that. And I think that they will have a little bit of a harder time running the football this week. So Kirk Cousins is somebody who I think is a good streamer. Or if you're a little low, bye week replacement, I've got him 15th.
Baltimore has allowed the third fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. A lot of that coming in the last 2 weeks against the Jags and the Raiders. But I think other than that one long run to Isaiah Crowell, they've been pretty good.
They have been.
So Matt Jones or Terrence West. We look at this game. Who do you like better?
West.
Jones is kind of a top 24 guy by default.
What is your thought on Kenneth Dixon this week, Jamie?
I think if you're stuck and you need a flex, you can take a chance on him. But I would imagine they're going to ease him back in. At least that's the report from ESPN Baltimore. So our projections are a little aggressive with him. This week, I think he's projected for about 8 points in a standard league, a little bit more in PPR. I'm surprised by that. But I think if you're just talking about flex option, deeper league, he could, you know, it's a wild card. You know, you just don't know how much work he's going to get.
When you look at like Wendell Smallwood, Kenneth Dixon, and let's throw DeAndre Washington in there, who's the best this week?
Washington.
Smallwood. Washington.
You like Wendell Smallwood. You have one spot ahead of Ryan Matthews, like 17th and 18th or something?
22nd and 23rd.
Not my bad. Why?
I just think he's the best running back in Philadelphia, and I think they'll have the lead in this game, and they're going to want to run, and he's the perfect running back to give the ball
to
kill the clock.
What is it that you don't like about Ryan Matthews? He's good, man.
He might score touchdowns.
If Matthews is healthy, he's going to get the most work.
All right. Well, we'll wait and see. Anything else from this game? We talked about Steve Smith and DeSean Jackson. Dennis Pitta, yes or no?
If you can get away from him, you should. It hasn't been good for him. We've seen the fullback, Kyle Juszczyk, take work away from him.
He's better in PPR than he is in standard. He still hasn't scored a touchdown yet.
One more bad game from Mike Wallace. He's on the chopping block or what?
Yes.
It's tough to start him.
The nice thing about it is that the targets came up last week. So he went 3 straight games with only 6. Last week he had 11, I believe. And so, you know,
didn't he throw like 50 passes
last
week?
Yes, they threw the ball a ton. and that's going to help Wallace. The other thing is that Joe Flacco came out this week and speak, you know, specifically Flacco, how he plays. He said, we have to get our, you know, deep ball game going. So that's not going to be Steve Smith. It's not going to be Kamar Aiken. It would be either Perryman or Wallace. And, you know, Wallace is getting the targets right now. So he anticipated a few more shots. And if he connects this week, you know, he's a daily home run play if you're looking for somebody in that regard.
All right, let's talk about Chicago and Indianapolis. I think that these two defenses have not been as bad as we want them to be. I'm ready for them to both be terrible. Like, this game could be high scoring. Andrew Luck, people are frustrated with Andrew Luck, only one game with more than 21 fantasy points. Would you start Carson Wentz or Andrew Luck this week?
I'd go Luck, but it is close.
Yep.
It's funny to think of it that way, but I still have Luck ahead of him by two spots.
All right. Jamie, you have Wentz ahead or what?
No, still Luck. I think Luck's going to have a good game. I don't buy into his Bears secondary.
Frank Gore, how does he measure up with Terrence West and Matt Jones? Frank Gore.
He's in between them.
He's behind them both for me. I think West is safer. I'm just worried about Gore. You know, he showed up on the injury report on Monday, and all this work, coming off the long road trip, this is the type of game you worry about a 30-plus-year-old running back, and he's 33. So I just a little bit concerned. Matchup is good. Playing at home is good. You're starting him, but I think West's upside is much more in his the upside is much more in West's favor than it is for Frank Gore.
Jamie turned it on for me that Gore's been fairly involved in the passing game. For much of this
he
season.
Has been, but he is.
So is Ferguson, though.
But here, the thing with
Gore.
But
he hasn't been that good.
Gore's got double-digit catches in three games, but he doesn't have more 13 catches. Doesn't have more than 27 yards in any game. He's so bad.
He's got 19 in the other two where he's had at least two catches.
I know, but like no, it's like good that he's getting
he's
the catches.
He's a yard away
do
from
something
having
20
with
yards. I mean, it's just frustrating.
And
I,
he this, scored this a touchdown in week two on
this
it.
This was the argument for him coming into the year was he's going to get a lot of work.
Yeah.
And he's delivering right now, so it's hard to bench him. And again, Chicago's defense, on paper at least, should not be good. They haven't given up a ton of production to running backs, but you still assume that the way he's been playing, the touches he's been getting, it's hard to get away from him.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of upside with him because if he doesn't score, he's not going to get you 100 total yards. It's just,
no,
it's just not
I don't think so, but it could be closer to 80, which is why he's a decent number two running back this week
right.
with a chance to score against Chicago.
Certainly
I don't
think won't. He won't embarrass you. He won't kill your team. And maybe
he'll
have a good game.
Yeah, he shouldn't.
Now, the thing is, teams typically throw on the Bears. They don't see a lot of carries. They've seen the... Oh, no, they typically run. Okay, I got it reversed. They've seen the third most rush attempts in the NFL. Maybe we'll see a little bit more passing from the Colts this week. So how about those Colts wide receivers?
T.Y. Hilton should be fine. Anytime
yeah, I
home.
Like Hilton.
Anytime he's at home, he's a good play.
But you wouldn't start like Dorsett over DeAndre Hopkins, would you?
No, Dorsett is a little frustrating because if you take away that one long play last week, you're not getting a good number. You know, it was terrible. And I really think that he's not, you know, it's like the Davante Adams scenario. I don't think he's ready to be the number two. I think he's better off as the number three. And so when he's in the third role, when he's playing against the third corner, whether he's going inside or outside, that's a role that typically he's going to win a lot of those matchups. But you look at Luck right now, he's dumping off to his running backs because the pass rush is in his face. He's still looking at Hilton, his first read all the time. And then he's still looking at his tight end. So Dorsett, he's got to hit a home run to be great.
I like any Dolphins wide receiver better than him. I like Tavon Austin better than him. I even like any Raiders receiver better than Philip Dorsett. And that
the
includes
two Raiders
Seth
receivers?
Roberts. No,
oh,
the
wow.
three Raiders
oh, okay.
receivers.
Yeah, because it wasn't so bold until you threw
right.
in Seth Roberts. I like it.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard or Frank Gore, guys?
Howard.
A running back has scored double-digit fantasy points in all four games against the Colts this year. But they've been, you know, they did well against Anderson and Gordon, but they've just given up a lot of touchdowns. How about Alshon Jeffrey? How much faith do you have in him? And what about Eddie Royal, guys? He's been a hot topic this week.
Royal's been banged up a little.
It's Jeffrey too, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of backing
I think they're
me
a little
off,
concerned about Royal.
It's backing me off of Hoyer a little bit. I'm kind of concerned about the health of his
why? Because all he needs is Zach Miller and somebody else.
I guess so.
It's Cameron Meredith time in Chicago.
Well, obviously, Kevin White is out. He's on IR.
Yep.
Yeah. Hoyer, where do you guys have Hoyer ranked?
Top 10.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's perilously in the top 10.
Rivers or Hoyer?
Rivers.
Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what. As of now, I've got Hoyer ahead of Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
And I don't know if a lot of people are going to bring themselves to make that same decision.
Oh, that's an easy one.
I know it sounds easy.
If his receivers
it
are
seems
healthy.
Easy.
If his receivers are healthy. Matt Ryan is not going to have a good game at all.
Are you starting Eddie Royal?
Third receiver at best.
Yeah.
Are you starting Zach Miller?
Yes.
Streaming tight end.
Yeah. I mean, people with
he's more than
a
streaming tight end
Eifert
at this
out.
Point. As long as Hoyer keeps throwing the ball like this, this is two straight games of good production.
I kind of feel like we got lucky last week with him. Three targets, three catches, and a touchdown where
I mean,
he was wide
that's
open.
That's tight ends.
gentlemen, listen. Enough football. Yeah. I've been telling you all about Indochino. I've been telling you for a while about Indochino.
It's nice that you're wearing your suit here today in person.
Now, you know, people have, do you really have the suit? They think I'm lying. I swear to you, I have the suit, and it's
awesome. Do you have a photo on your phone of the suit? Of the swagger, Adam Azer invented swagger?
No, I don't. You know why? Because I told you I was going to wear it to a wedding, right?
Right.
I am the idiot who goes to a wedding and doesn't check the attire until like 3 hours before the wedding. So I needed to wear like a formal attire, so I had to put on a black suit.
But you still don't have a photo of it. Like, you have your phone in your hand, right?
Yeah,
now.
I don't have a photo of it. Because I have photos from the wedding. But it's the thing. When I went to the wedding, I had to wear my old black suit, which I really liked until I got my Indochino suit. And now I realize it's too big on me. I don't look nearly as good as I could. My Indochino suit is much better. I want everybody to please look into this offer. It's a pretty amazing deal. $389 for a suit that usually goes for about $800 if you use our offer code FFT at checkout. Go to Indochino.com, Indochino.com, or they have North American showrooms. They have 9 North American showrooms you can check out. Just go to the website, you customize your suit, you make it your own, you'll love it. You sit there, you have a customized suit that fits you perfectly. It's got your monogram, it's got everything, the lapel, the buttons, everything designed exactly as you want. You don't want to go back to the old suits that you got off the rack. They're not nearly as good. So go to Indochino.com, enter FFT at checkout, 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit, and shipping is free, and your satisfaction is guaranteed, or you get your money back. Amazing offer. Indochino.com. The promo code is FFT for any premium suit for $389 and free shipping. All right, Tennessee is at Miami. I know there's been talk about this game not being played or being rescheduled.
It's not. It's going to
happen.
It's on schedule as planned.
I don't know what that was all about. Tennessee has not allowed more than 20 offensive points in a game yet. They've allowed a couple of defensers or maybe special teams touchdowns, but yeah, last week, right, Will Fuller. But not more than 20 offensive points in a game. So, Jamie, your overall thoughts on the Dolphins' offense this week?
I think their running game will still continue to be mediocre, but if you're looking for somebody, Jay Ajayi would be the best.
Yeah, I didn't ask you about Foster. Is he going to play?
He's been practicing, but my guess would still be no.
Okay.
But we got to keep an eye on that. He's been limited in practice both days, Wednesday and Thursday. So today we'll be telling to see what they list him as, and maybe Sunday he comes out and tries to test it and see how he goes.
If he does play, I think you have to look at him as a minimum of a flex option, high-end number 3 fantasy running back just because of the potential volume.
Would you start him over Theo Riddick?
In a non-PPR, I would.
I'd start him over Forte.
You hate Forte.
You were trashing him.
Well, he's been bad.
He has, but Pittsburgh, is Shazier going to play?
I don't know.
Because they haven't been quite as good against running backs lately.
The guys who have beat them up, though, are the pass-catching guys, and he's not the pass-catching guy anymore.
Yeah, you know, I think skipping ahead, I feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick could like fall into 20 fantasy points this week.
Garbage time.
Positive or negative?
That'd be positive for him. I think everybody's been doing that, right, against Pittsburgh?
Alex Smith did last week.
Right? Shazier hasn't practiced.
Carson Wentz did it, not in garbage time. He did it in real time.
Yeah, I mean, Dalton, Wentz, Alex Smith have all scored between 20 and 25 fantasy points.
Yeah,
so.
But Dalton and Wentz did that in the flow of the game.
Well, even so, I mean, Pittsburgh's pass defense isn't that good, and I know, whatever, nobody's starting him. I'm just saying if you're desperate. All right, so Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill or, well, you guys would say Hoyer.
Tannehill, I like Tannehill this week, though. Yeah. I mean, again, he's getting his offensive line's getting healthy. Pouncey and Brandon Albert expected to play. Albert missed last week. Pouncey's been practicing.
Albert hasn't been practicing.
I thought he was
limited. That's just one thing I would look at. No, I thought he hasn't been practicing.
Okay. He was expected to play, according to a report I saw at the end of last week. So you're getting at least Pouncey back to me is almost more important than Albert at this point because they can move Tunsil to tackle. So if he gets Pouncey back, that helps the entire offense. Tennessee is not a very good defense, numbers aside. And I think you'll see that if Tannehill has some protection, Landry, you're starting easily. He's going to have a big day.
And it's a great matchup for him.
And I think we're going to see Parker more matched up against Cox, but both guys will see time against Cox. So I think both Dolphins receivers, as Dave said, this is a good week to try all three of these guys. Parker is going to score a touchdown. I will guarantee that.
Wow.
All right. Book it.
Kenny Smith is going to have Kenny Stills is going to have the Jets going to have
Logan Verrett.
Kenny Stills is going to have some opportunities down the field. He's been very consistent with either 70 yards or a touchdown in
his
last three
games. 7 plus fantasy points in 3 straight, and it would have been 4 straight
but
if he caught
so
the touchdown.
But it's so weird because he's in 2 of those
games.
He's
a bye week receiver.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little bit better than that. Maybe he's a number 3 receiver for me because I think they're going to try and keep him involved in the offense. I think there's just something up with Devontae Parker right now.
We're talking Kenny Stills now, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Not Kenny Loggins. But the tough matchup for the Dolphins receivers will be to Tannehill's left. That's where Jason McCourty is going to be. and they tend to not move him around, I think Landry could end up having a monster game. Like, we're gonna debate Stills Parker. It might not even matter.
Okay, are there any Titans other than DeMarco Murray that you're starting?
Delanie Walker.
Yeah, he hasn't really been that good. He's had one good game out of three.
I know, but I think like, he's their best receiver, and he's at tight end, and the Dolphins' defense just isn't that good covering anybody who catches passes.
So if you saw Cameron Brate or Zach Miller, you wouldn't start those guys over Delanie
Walker? I'd stick
with
Delanie Walker.
Okay. Let's go to our next game then. Philadelphia at Detroit. I think we've spoken enough about Carson Wentz. We talked about him on Tuesday and Wednesday. So he's sixth still for Jamie Wentz?
He's top 10. I don't know exactly where I moved him down.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got him at 8.
Give me one big name you'd start him
Matt over. Ryan.
Other than Matt Ryan.
Stafford.
Brian Hoyer.
Okay. Eli Manning?
I got Eli ahead of
Wentz,
him.
Wentz will be 7 if Cam doesn't play for me.
Where's Eli for you?
Eli will be 8.
Okay. The Philadelphia running backs. Detroit, they allow the 5th fewest fantasy points to a running back. Despite giving up 4.8 yards per carry, they have not allowed a touchdown passing or receiving or running to a running back yet, but that's a little fluky. So tell me how you feel about the Philly running backs, guys.
I began the week with Smallwood higher in my rankings, and I still have it that way, but Ryan Matthews is right next to him. I know that Ryan Matthews has been practicing in full. I know that there's optimism for Ryan Matthews. Part of me thinks that this will be another convincing Eagles win, and the guy who will lead them in carries will be Smallwood, not Matthews, who they can, you know, get as much rest as they need for him. And Sproles playing on turf is always interesting, but I can't trust him for fantasy just because I don't know what that workload's going to be.
He had a bad game at Detroit last year, too. So.
Yeah, that's true. The Eagles, during the bye, were talking up Smallwood. They really liked what he could do, and if you go back and watch him play, he was great. He's not a pass catcher. At least he hasn't shown that yet in the pros. But as a downhill runner and a guy who could potentially lead that backfield eventually, I like him a lot for that role. I'm not that excited about starting him, but I'm not excited about a lot of running backs this week. So by default, both him and Matthews are in my top 24.
Yeah, Small was just a flex at best for me. I just don't know what the workload's going to be. He had great production in a blowout win against Pittsburgh in week 3 without Matthews being healthy. So if Matthews is healthy, I still think he's going to get the majority of touches there. I don't know if Smallwood will score. If he doesn't score, you could be talking about 3 or 4 fantasy points because he may have, you know, the Jordan Howard type of game that we saw when he stepped in for Langford against the Colts, you know, where he gets you a good number in terms of rushing average, looks good, but just doesn't get enough of a workload. You know Matthews, if he's healthy, will work at the goal line. That's clear. You know Sproles is going to work on passing downs. That's clear. Smallwood has to find his way in between that. And so if they take Matthews off the field for a couple of series and Smallwood does a good job, maybe they keep him in there. But he's a safer risk than what we were just talking about with Kenneth Dixon. You know that he's going to get touches. You don't know that Dixon will. So Smallwood, to me, is a boom or bust flex play.
Do you guys like Jordan Matthews or Ryan Matthews better in this game?
Jordan
Matthews.
And again, another matchup that I really like for him. Lions have only one good corner. It's Darius Slay. He typically plays on the outside. He would make a significant change for them if they have Matthews blanketed by Slay. Okay. And then if they do that, then their weaker corners are against faster receivers and certainly a bigger receiver in Dorial Green-Beckham, who I think is also a daily fantasy sleeper this week.
Detroit has allowed 6 touchdowns to tight ends. I know that's not really Zach Ertz's thing, but maybe he can score one this week. Matthew Stafford, Philly, allowing the fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. They faced RG3, they faced the Bears, but then they faced Ben Roethlisberger and did very well against him. So I'm sure you guys are trying to avoid Stafford this week.
Yes.
Plus, he's facing Jim Schwartz, his former head coach. And the last time these two teams met, it was week 5. It was in Detroit. It was the 2014 season when Jim Schwartz was the defensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. Jim Schwartz was carried off the field that day by linebackers of the Buffalo Bills and high-fived by defensive linemen of the Detroit Lions, who appreciated his effort and wish he was still coaching the team. So I think that he knows Stafford. He knows his tendencies. Clearly, it's a different Stafford because that time, as previous years, he had Calvin Johnson. But I think knowing his tendencies, having an aggressive defense, they don't need to blitz, so they can drop back into coverage. And oh, by the way, Eric Ebron's not going to play. So you take away one of his most reliable targets.
Is there anyone you like on the Lions?
Marvin Jones, that's it.
How about
but
you
it's
like
kind of by default, isn't it?
Jones or Hopkins?
Jones, easy. I think Jones is going to have a good game. there's a good matchup on the table for him if he lines up against Jalen Mills. He's been one of the worst cornerbacks in the NFL so far this season, according to Pro Football Focus. And so if that matchup holds, which is where typically they both line up, Jones should continue to get fed targets. He'll be exactly what he's been. Not going to be what he was 2 weeks ago when he had 202, but he'll be right around 100 total yards with a chance to score.
Yeah, he's got like an 80-yard floor.
Yep.
Detroit wide receivers, when we look at Jones specifically, Alshon Jeffrey had 5 catches for 96 yards against Philadelphia. Antonio Brown at 12 for 140. So far, no wide receiver has caught a touchdown, but you could get some good yardage there.
And you're hearing a lot of Detroit coaches, specifically Jim Bob Cooter, saying, we're going to get Golden Tate going. We're going to feed him targets, all these things. You got to see it first. So until it happens, you know, his our projection for him right now is about 5.8 points, if I saw it correctly on
How often has he gotten 5.8
He's gotten 4 points in a standard league twice. That's his high.
Golden Tate.
Yeah. So,
all right, 4-1.
But he will benefit with Ebron out, because that's just another, maybe they put him in the slot more. That's been the biggest issue, is he is a very good slot receiver, and they're playing him outside way too much.
All right, let's go to Houston, Minnesota. Dave, is there anybody in this game that you think has a good game? Actually, let me rephrase it. Who scores the most fantasy points in this game, including the quarterbacks?
I'm going to go with the Vikings DSC.
It could be.
And then if you wanted a player, I'd say Jerick McKinnon. I like what I saw from him last week, and who couldn't?
Amari Cooper like for Jerick McKinnon.
McKinnon. I think.
No. This week, me and you, trade.
Oh, you're going to offer me Cooper?
I might.
You have come a long way. You really need Jerick McKinnon. It's a league where I need McKinnon, too.
Everybody needs running backs.
Yeah.
That's why you got to overpay.
That's why I had to draft a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think McKinnon is a good fantasy option this week against Houston. I think Osweiler is going to put that defense in poor position. The last 2 weeks, the Texans defense have not looked good, either with damaged J.J. Watt or without J.J. Watt. I think you could see Jerick McKinnon have another nice game. I think he's the best player in this game.
He's better than Lamar Miller?
Yes. Lamar Miller's going to have a tough time.
Are we starting Lamar Miller? I mean, he hasn't had more than 11 fantasy points. He's facing a great defense here.
Yeah, but look, they did give up production to Orleans Darkwood.
Lamar Miller's no Orleans Darkwood.
That's true. He hasn't scored a touchdown yet.
That's true.
I think you look at it as, given the running backs for this week, Miller has to be in your lineup. Is he a top 10 guy? No. Is he a top 15 guy? No. Is he a top 20 guy? Barely. So if he's not scoring, he's got to get you 10 fantasy points by his total yards. I think he can get there because Bobby Rainey did a good job catching the ball last week. Darkwood did a good job running the ball last week. That's where Miller will have to do his work, is as a dual threat guy.
Julian Edelman or Lamar Miller?
Edelman.
In a PPR league, it's Edelman. In a standard league, I think you got to go Miller.
Amari Cooper or Lamar Miller?
Now with the red out, I'd
yeah,
go with
you got to like Cooper a little bit more.
How about Jordan Howard or Lamar Miller?
Howard.
Okay. Kyle Rudolph, got to start him. Although Houston has been great against tight ends, they haven't really faced... No, they faced Kelsey, they faced Delanie Walker. Those two guys had 6 fantasy points, I think, on 15 targets combined.
I wonder how healthy Walker was, though, last week.
Okay, so we're starting him. Diggs, not thrilled with it. What do you guys think?
He has good targets over the last couple weeks. I think he has at least 7 targets in every game this season. Mm-hmm. I still think he's a little risky.
He went from 19 targets the first 2 games to 14 targets combined the last 2 games.
Is it the groin injury that's slowing him
down? I think it's game flow. In both the 2 games where he was great, they were down 10 points early. Now, they were down 10-2 early in the Panthers game, but it was still in the first quarter. So I think it's the way that his targets have – the 2 games where his targets have been up, they've been throwing from behind, plus easier matchup. The Texans, their cornerbacks haven't exactly been great, at least their grades on Pro Football Focus, but collectively the secondary has played very well. So game flow, I think you said it best, Dave, is that Osweiler is going to put them behind. They're going to be able to run the ball. When they get in the red zone, it's very clear he's looking for Kyle Rudolph or they're running the ball. So his ceiling, you know, Heath made a point on the show, I think it was Tuesday, must have been Tuesday, that were we too quick to anoint Stephon Diggs as a top 20 guy? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
So I think he's a very safe number 3 receiver, borderline number 2, you know, just based on the week. So the 7 targets is nice, but you still could get another 4 for 40 type of game. And he's running great routes. If you watch
Bradford's
him,
not good.
I don't think it's that Bradford's not good. I think it's game flow. I just don't think that they're open to – let's throw the ball 50-plus times like Flacco or like Winston. You know, they don't want to be that type of team.
But he's not that good. He's fine. He's better than Peyton Manning. They could win the Super Bowl. I really love the Vikings.
They're your team?
They're awesome. I appreciate what they do because they're not flashy. And they're like the Broncos last year, you know? It's exciting to see a team be able to win the way they win with a guy with, you know, I think it was a stupid trade to give that up for Bradford, but.
Not they win the Super Bowl.
No, but I honestly feel like, well, I don't think Sean Hill could have.
Right. They also could be looking at 2 years without Teddy Bridgewater. So if that's the case.
Yeah.
Then it's the
you,
smart
you lose Bridgewater and Peterson and they're.
And Khalil.
Yeah, and their left tackle, and they're still the best team. I think they're the best team in the NFC.
Khalil, is that bad for them?
There's no
it
argument.
Still hurts.
Are they the best team in the NFC? They've
the
earned
best
that
team
crown.
In the NFC. No,
they've already beaten one of the other best teams in the NFC.
Two of them,
the Packers
and the Panthers.
I don't think the Panthers are in the conversation this year.
Well, right they now. Still beat them, and they beat them good in Carolina.
Yep.
Eight sacks.
I'll still say Seattle is the team to beat.
Maybe.
And even though they beat Green Bay, I still think the Packers are going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Oh sure, especially this week. Jets at the Steelers. By the way, Jamie has to leave us in about 7 minutes. The office opened up a little bit late today after the storm. There's video obligations. There's columns to write. We're trying to squeeze everything in limited blocks here. So, Jets running backs, just avoid that. Like, I know Jamie's, you don't like Matt Forte this week, do you?
Have you been listening to the podcast?
I'm just kidding. Dave, how do you feel about Forte and Powell?
I don't hate Forte because I think volume will be decent. I just don't buy the Steelers run defense as being tough, especially if Ryan Shazier's out. Spencer Ware didn't get a lot of carries last week. He had almost 80 yards.
Garbage time, though.
That's fine. Forte is someone who will probably, by the end of the day, be closer to 20 in my rankings than where he is now, which is 18, which is pretty close to 20.
Forte so last week, number two just to give you an idea, Forte last week was out-snapped by Bilal Powell, 37-34.
Yeah.
He's losing passing downs work to Bilal Powell, 12 catches to 4 the last 2 weeks. And so if he's losing that and he's not scoring touchdowns, remember, he had the 3-touchdown game. His yards have not exactly been great.
No, he hasn't played well.
Right.
We said it after the 3-touchdown game. He's a great.
Oh my God. You have
sell
to
high candidate.
Absolutely.
He had 30 carries in that game.
Absolutely. And I know we keep saying that the Steelers are bad in terms of pass catching running backs. It's really been big play for Gio Bernard, who had 9 catches, and they just kept feeding him the ball in a rain game. And then Sproles had the big play. You know Sproles is going to be 4 or 5 catches almost on a weekly basis. Anyway, he had 6 and had 128 yards in the touchdown off a 70 some odd yard catch in that game. So I don't necessarily look at it and say they're horrible. And the guys who have actually done better against them have been the secondary guys, not been the primary guy.
Quincy Enunwa or DeAndre Hopkins?
Still Hopkins.
Hopkins.
Quincy Enunwa or Will Fuller?
Still Fuller, but it's close.
Okay. How about Sammy Coates? How does he rank up with the guys we were just talking about?
He's an interesting daily fantasy sleeper. Like, I would try and find a way to put him in as your third receiver or your flex in DFS. Because the Jets have been burned by the big play, and that's what Coates does.
He actually led them in targets, catches, and receiving yards last week.
He's actually had 50 yards or more in every game. So he's not so far, Coates hasn't been the kind of guy that gets you like a 2.
No. The nice thing about it is Eli Rogers already ruled out, and I believe Hayward Bay is dealing with an injury.
Yes.
So
interesting.
He's been playing better than Marcus Wheaton, so he'll be on the field.
And Jesse James, not going to get you a lot of yards, but gosh, the Jets are awful against tight ends. So.
200-plus yards receiving to the last 2 tight ends that they faced.
Delanie Walker or Jesse James?
Walker, but James is a great sleeper this week.
Okay. Patriots at the Browns. I'm slightly worried. Well, not so much about Blunt, but Crowell. I mean, I'm a little worried about him. I just don't know how many carries he's going to get. You know, they could get absolutely blown out. Is this a Duke Johnson game? How do you feel about Crowell and Duke Johnson this week?
Duke's a nice sleeper this week, but... You know, it's PPR really only. Crowell, I think you're starting by default. He hasn't let you down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we talked about, I forget who you said, is Flores 80 or Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones, right.
Crowell's probably about 70.
He's had at least 15 carries each of the last three games.
And
he's averaging over 5 yards per carry.
Yeah, I'll go back to what I said going into the season about him. Every time he gets 12 or more carries, he's been productive more times than
that. And last week, he had 3 catches for 22 yards. I know you can't count on him for catches, but the fact that they did that last week, 9 catches combined between those two running backs, Crowell and Duke.
Okay, Crowell or Blunt?
Blunt.
Blunt.
Duke Johnson or James White?
Duke.
James White.
I'm a little interested. I just want to see what happens with James White.
Yep. It's a risk, but you know he did have 5 for 50 last week.
Yeah.
And so that's without Brady.
They were trailing.
Yeah. But what Brady will do.
And he had 5 for 40 in week 1. But it's what he did in between then and what he hasn't done, and that's score touchdowns.
Right, exactly.
Right, he hasn't done that, so... you're Neither counting on him for those receiving numbers. His rushing numbers, it's worth 1 point in fantasy. 19 yards in week 2, 12 in each of the other 2 games.
Tom Brady, Cleveland has allowed 10 touchdown passes this season. That's a lot.
This is a good preseason game for Tom Brady. Coming back into it and knocking the rust off, this is a good opponent to do it against.
How many quarterbacks do you have ranked ahead of Tom Brady?
I believe one.
Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Start Tom Brady. Gary Barnage. Last two games.
Hashtag Azer fantasy tips.
He's got 66 yards and 57 yards. Six targets, seven targets. And I don't know. New England, they have not faced good tight ends. But every tight end they faced has had their best game of the season. Or tied for their best game of the season. Granted, not a lot of fantasy points. But I don't know. You like Barnage this week?
If he's been in your lineup every week, then just keep him there. But I don't think he's great.
Hey, no team goes into the season without a game plan. And if they did, game day highlights would be nothing more than a football follies compilation. While follies are hilarious, Buffalo Wild Wings knows that fans prefer the taste of glory on game day. And that kind of glory, it comes with having 21 signature sauces and seasonings to choose from. Or a great lineup of cold and refreshing beers on tap. Or a collection of wall-to-wall flat screens so big it would make your head spin. We cover all of those details so they add up to the kind of game day experience fans can appreciate. And we do it because we appreciate the fans. So win or lose, if you're a fan, you still win at having the best game day atmosphere there is. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. We do it for you because you're a football fan.
I am a football fan.
Yeah, and you know what? If you're like a Browns fan, you're going to lose this week. So maybe go to Buffalo Wild Wings. You're going to have a good time. Atlanta's at Denver. All right. Where's Julio Jones in your rankings?
Top 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, what? Honestly, I can't look people in the eye and say, yeah, sit Julio Jones. He's going to be terrible.
He might.
I know he might. He also might go off for 100 and a touchdown because he's a really good player who gets a lot of targets, and his team's going to be playing from behind.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Emmanuel Sanders.
Funny,
be
I can't say the same about Mohamed Sanu or Jacob Tammy, though.
No. Mm. And what about Devontae Freeman? He's tough.
Gotta still play.
Yeah.
Tevin Coleman may not play. If he does, he's not going to play very much. He's got the sickle cell trait. That's what Ryan Clark had.
Oh, going to Denver.
And so they said that they're going to play him, but he's nervous, understandably so. And so he may not get a lot of work if he does play at all. So you just got to be careful about that. I have him ranked in my 30s almost by default, but I wouldn't be surprised if he barely touches the ball at all.
You know, only one wide receiver has reached even 80 yards against Atlanta. And I think Atlanta's just been awful against tight ends. Is that right?
They've struggled against
so
him.
I think the wide receiver production hasn't quite been there. Has that changed this week? Do you feel good with Demaryius and bye, Jamie. Jamie's got to go do a radio.
Well, he doesn't even
now.
Say goodbye. He's just walking right out. He's on the phone.
He got the phone call from the radio producer, and he was like, peace.
Yeah, so, I'm out of here. Bye, podcast.
Dave, you feel good about the Denver wide receivers this week?
I do. I think that what we've seen both from Simeon and then last week from Paxton Lynch, I think that these guys are going to continue to get good targets. What we haven't seen is great production, or certainly a good rushing average, from C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, what's up with that? It's starting to really tick me off.
It is a little bit, but thankfully he can still score touchdowns, which I think he'll end up doing in this game. And volume will always help him just pick up as much yardage as he can get, obviously.
You know, okay, let's talk about this. The volume thing, right? It is really hard. Not really hard, but it's difficult for a running back to get 15 to 20 touches and be awful. So if I think a guy's going to get that, I'm probably starting him. But
I think that's kind of a rule this year.
It should be.
Yeah.
But I think Anderson, I'm definitely starting. If he struggles again, maybe I'll start getting worried, but I'm starting him. And he scores touchdowns. So anyway, Lamar Miller comes to mind as somebody I'm a little afraid of, even with the workload. Who else? Like anybody on Carolina? Well, Gerald McCoy is not playing. Yeah. We don't like the Carolina guys anyway.
No, we don't. But just kind of turning it back to the matchup for Anderson, there's only been two running backs this season that have even 10 carries against the Atlanta Falcons.
Teams throw all over them. They've
right.
given up
so
the
maybe
most
this
points
is a game,
to quarterbacks.
This could be a game where, and Jamie mentioned it earlier, Trevor Siemian's a little banged up. If he ends up playing, maybe they take a little bit of the pressure off of him and they try and get going on the ground. But push comes to shove, you look at the Falcons' defense, they've got a good corner in Dez Trufant, and everything else is wide open. So if Trufant sticks himself on Demaryius Thomas, which makes a lot of sense, should mean a big game again for Emmanuel Sanders. I know people are kind of waiting for the other shoe to fall with him because he's been so good lately. I'd ride him. I think he's absolutely worth starting. I think it's a no-brainer. And I think Demaryius Thomas is kind of in that same category as Julio Jones. Just such a good player who can make one big play to save his stat line, and he could end up making three of those plays against the Falcons. I think Denver actually rolls big here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that the receivers do well, and I think C.J. Anderson, you have to start him. I think he'll score.
Is Virgil Green a sleeper?
He's been practicing. I think there's a little bit of intrigue with him.
It's a Jesse James type scenario. It's he needs to score, right?
Yes. Right. I don't know if that's what the Jesse James scenario is.
Well, just Jesse James 30 yards and you hope he gets he hasn't been over 31 yards this year.
There's a concern that Virgil Green could catch a touchdown and still be under 10 fantasy points. He could be under 8 fantasy points.
Right, right. But if you get 8, 7,
I would try not to use Virgil Green.
Yeah, it's a sleeper situation. All right, we got about 5 games left here, so let's get on it. 2 of the 5 worst teams in fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks meet in Oakland. San Diego at Oakland, and no Logan, Jason, Jim, Peter Verrett, whoever he is.
Nancy.
Neil Verrett. Who's the Sports Center anchor? Stan Verrett?
Sam Verrett.
Stan Verrett, yeah. That's right. You said that earlier.
I did.
Philip Rivers or Derek Carr?
I like them both. And it's tough for me to pick between my favorite guy and my son's favorite guy. Did you know that my son loves Derek Carr?
Yeah.
Crazy Derek Carr fan. I have Rivers higher just because I think there's a slightly bigger chance that he's throwing from behind and the volume will work in his favor. There are not a lot of good cornerbacks in this game now that Troy Verrett is out for the Chargers. You got Amerson for
Oakland. We call him
Oakland.
Everett Verrett.
Huh?
Everett Verrett.
You can call him whatever you want. He's not playing. Oakland's got one good corner. It's David Amerson. I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty obvious that the Chargers can get away from him and throw at Sean Smith and DJ Hayden. Dontrell Inman is a sleeper again this week because he plays in the slot.
Oh, yeah. So rank the San Diego wide receivers.
I'm still ranking Benjamin number one. I like the speed, and I think the opportunities will be there. And like I said, I think Phillip Rivers is going to throw the ball a lot this week. But Inman's number two ahead of Tyrell Williams.
And rank the Oakland wide receivers.
Crabtree, Cooper, Seth the Snake Roberts.
Crabtree top 15?
Yes.
Crabtree or...
I believe I have Crabtree in my top 12.
So, like, I don't think... I mean,
and
hopefully
I, but
you can
I will tell you this, though. Like, with Verrett not playing, I do think that opens up the offense a lot more for Oakland, and they'll feel more comfortable trying to get Amari Cooper going. So, I reserve the right... Right now, I've got Crabtree at 12. The guys I have behind him are Alshon Jeffrey, who's just been eh. Steve Smith, who was great last week, but you know how that can go. DeSean Jackson, Jordan Matthews. I don't know how much I'm going to move Crabtree down. I could see myself moving
Crabtree.
Cooper up. And I'll tell you what, if I move, I'm going to go look at who the cornerbacks are going to be for San Diego. And if I'm comfortable enough with it, I might A, move Cooper up more, and B, move Parr up a little bit more.
He's
but
due.
But there should
Get
be,
it.
You look at the matchups and you just see what these defenses are. There should be a lot of offense in the game.
Okay. How about the tight ends in this game? You starting any tight ends?
I'd be a lot happier to start Hunter Henry if Antonio Gates didn't play.
What about Clive Walford?
Isn't he banged up?
Yes, I didn't know if he wasn't playing. All right, we're not. Who's starting?
I wouldn't start him.
All right, I was going to use the bonanza for that game, Dave, but we got better games coming up. Ready?
Yeah.
Buffalo at Los Angeles. Nah, I'm just kidding. Todd Gurley, we've spoken about him. I think you're gonna try to start him. We gave a lot of options. Is there anybody else in this game? LeSean McCoy, you're obviously starting. Anybody else you want to start? Robert Woods, Tavon Austin.
There's a lot of fans of Robert Woods out there after what he did last week, and I think in PPR it's justified. Volume will be there for him. I just don't think he's a spectacular receiver. I'm really curious to see how the matchup plays out for Tyrod Taylor because that defensive line for the Rams has been really, really dominant, I would say. So I'm a little curious about how they'll go and how Tyrod Taylor will play. Not really interested in anybody in the Buffalo offense other than LeSean McCoy. And then I think Tavon Austin's got some chances. They keep trying to get him the football. Brian Quick has gotten a lot of numbers, so people are excited. He is the boomiest of boomer bust plays because last week, 2 catches, 2 touchdowns, 2 deep balls. I can't justify starting him or Kenny Britt.
Robert Woods or Travis Benjamin?
Benjamin.
Inman.
Inman as well over
okay.
Woods. PPR could be different. You could see Woods over Inman in a PPR.
Woods or Mike Wallace?
I think Woods is safer.
Okay.
Just saying. I'll tell you what, though. Wallace does have just as juicy of a matchup, but I know that Woods has more touches.
What's the Sunday night game this week?
The Sunday night game this week is, isn't it Giants at the
Bonanza!
I think you got to stop with this. You're driving people crazy.
You know what, man? This is what happens. The Bonanza is awful every week, and I get so many tweets. And most of them are like, LOL, Bonanza, you did it again, you aced it. And some of them are like, you bleep hole, you stop it. Like, and like I said last year, I'm not a sorcerer. I don't actually have power. And also, I'm not rooting against, I'm rooting for the Bonanza. I think it's funny when it fails and I get all this hate mail, but I wish it were right more often. I swear, I really do.
I wish you were a sorcerer.
There's no
way. I would
way.
Love to see you with the long beard
yeah.
and the pointy cap and the robe.
There's no way the Packers don't
like
have
shooting lightning bolts out of your fingernails.
I would use my powers for good. There's no way the Packers don't have a big game. There's no way.
Like, I agree.
There's no chance. And the Giants
are going to have to play from behind.
The passing game should be very good. I don't know about the running game, but the passing game should be good.
The one thing I'm worried about is that the Packers pass rush is getting healthier coming out of the bye. Clay Matthews is back. So yeah. that could definitely make some problems for Eli Manning. He'll get sacked a couple of times. I hope it doesn't lead to turnovers that cost Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz and obviously Eli Manning fantasy points. They need to get that
Sam
passing
Shields
game
been
going.
Ruled out, by the way.
Sam Shields isn't going to play, and that obviously helps the matchup. Ben McAdoo
is a
former
Packers rank all the wide
disciple.
Receivers. Yeah, let's rank them all. Rank all the wide receivers.
I got to start Jordy ahead of Odell.
Yeah.
You just have to. The way that he's been playing and the fact that it's at home, and if I like Aaron Rodgers as the number one quarterback, I got to like Jordy.
Here's the thing. The Giants really do have a good secondary. All three of those guys should be back. They have good cornerbacks. The two that missed last week's game, Apple and Rodgers.
Yeah, but they're not going to be 100%. I think the Packers will be able to attack.
All right, so Jordy 1, Beckham 2.
We're really putting a lot of eggs into the Packers basket after what we saw in week 3.
It's Sunday night, prime time. They're just
It should be that way. It should be that way, but you just dropped the bonanza on them, so now it's going to be like a 14-10 game.
All right, so Jordy's great. Odell, you got to start.
Odell is
number one to have killed Green Bay.
I think Sterling Shepard has to be next.
Okay.
Ahead of Randall Cobb. This is the put up or shut up week for
Randall. I don't know how Cobb doesn't have a good game.
Because he's had one good game in his last 16.
I know.
That's why he might not have a good game.
And then who's next? Adams or Cruz?
I believe I have Cruz next, but they're both way, way down. I've got them back to back at 49 and 50. You can't even see them on the website.
How do you feel about the running backs in this game? Good run defense.
Lacy should be okay. We saw the Packers last time they played. They tried to force feed Lacy against the Lions. He had 100 yards. I could imagine a similar stat line for him this week based on volume. But if he can't, maybe they saw something during the bye week and they'll be nervous about him and you could see Starks play. I'm calling Lacy a number two running back this week. If you've got him, I think you have to start him. I've got him in a couple of leagues. I'm going to start him in my leagues. I don't really like any of the Giants running backs. Darkwood to me is a flex. And that's if Rashad Jennings doesn't play. If Jennings does play, then it kind of negates them all. We've been talking about Paul Perkins as a good deep, deep sleeper. And I feel like he still is. He's somebody you can, I wouldn't start him.
I feel
somebody
like,
to put on the end of your bench in a deeper league.
You don't think Rainey could get 6 catches?
He could. He could, especially if they're playing from behind.
Right. All right. Would you start?
You could make the case for Rainey being better than Darkwood and people.
Well, let's ask the guy who loves Matt Forte this week. Would you start Darkwood or Forte?
I would start Forte. I don't think Dark was going to play well at all this week.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I think Jennings actually still has a chance to play. No, okay. They're still talking about him getting.
Oh, good. Let's start him.
No, I wouldn't start any of the Giants running backs except Rainey in a PPR.
I just bonanza this game.
Oh, then I wouldn't start anybody.
Sid Rogers?
He's
like a number
well,
two.
Well, now that you said that.
Yeah, he's two quarterback league can start Aaron Rodgers.
You want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
So I just did a radio spot in Los Angeles and. I'm so not used to talking about like the must-start guys. So one of the co-hosts asked me about why don't you have Aaron Rodgers in your start sit column? So I said, oh, you know, we don't mention the obvious guys. I completely blanked on who they were playing.
Oh my gosh.
Completely. So I said, yeah, you know, Rodgers number one in my rankings. I think he's going to have a great game this week. And I just kept talking. I'm like, who are they playing? Who are they playing? I got completely blanked.
Come on. Primetime game. You guys going to watch the bonanza or you going to watch the debate?
It depends on how good the bonanza is.
What the hell, man? Why couldn't they put it on Tuesday night? Nobody's doing anything on Tuesday night.
It's the second time they've done it.
They did it Monday night and Sunday night. What are they thinking? Ridiculous. Everybody needs to watch the Packers win by 60. Cincinnati,
we do live in an age where you can record one thing and watch it later.
But they're both on so late for most people. So it's...
Can I just read an email that we just got, which is very appropriate to you with the bonanza?
Yeah.
Okay, so the email says, The Curse of Azer.
Oh, God.
Who's it from?
It's from Brian in Ohio. Dear, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, and Die Hard, which are obviously Christmas
movies.
Right. And the quote says, damn it, Adam, you a-hole.
This is what I'm talking about. This happens all the time.
That was my reaction last week when I listened to the podcast, and Adam put the bonanza curse on the Lions-Bears game. This was the second time in the first 4 weeks that Adam cursed Detroit with the bonanza, and both games have been a disaster. All in caps.
Yeah.
Don't talk about the Lions for the rest of the season.
Okay, they're safe
Signed,
this week.
Losing my mind. Brian in Ohio.
They're safe. They're safe this week, Brian. I apologize.
Good timing, Brian. Way to get that.
Yeah, that was very funny. Two more games. Let's do it quick here. Cincinnati at Dallas. Because we got to talk about what's going on this weekend. Big weekend.
Yeah, you bonanzaed your voice there.
Cincinnati at Dallas. Tell me who you like this week, guys. Cincinnati at Dallas.
I like Dalton, and you know, I'm thinking if you see the injuries to the Bears guys, that I'm going to move Dalton ahead of Hoyer, which will put him in my top 10. I think you look at he's been on the cusp of some good games, 20 and 19 fantasy points, two of the first 4 weeks. And this Dallas defense I don't think is very good. So, I like the little incentives. Where did Dalton go to college?
TCU.
TCU. So, first time in playing in Dallas. And Heath brought this up referencing one of the Cincinnati beat writers. Dalton versus uncommon opponents, Dalton versus common opponents. He's only played Dallas once in his career. It was 2012, so it's an uncommon opponent. His numbers have been better against uncommon opponents versus common opponents. You know, teams that know him know his tendencies. So I think this is one of those games where he has not had a two-touchdown game yet this year. This will be his first two-touchdown game. I think he gets you over 20 fantasy points, his highest score of the season.
Jeremy Hill, like or dislike this week?
Like by default.
Right.
Gore or
That's
Hill?
That's a good way of putting it.
Gore or Hill?
Gore, still. Because if he doesn't score, you know what Hill's stat line is.
Lamar Miller or Hill?
Miller.
Hill.
Wow. So you're basically calling for a touchdown for Jeremy Hill.
Yeah, I would take a chance on Hill scoring versus Miller running against the Vikings.
Geo or Wendell Smallwood?
I would take a chance with Smallwood. They're basically the same. I mean, you know, at this point, you're counting on the secondary guy to do something.
Geo or Darkwa?
Geo.
It's close.
Okay.
I think, you know, Geo... he's just so uninspiring.
You have no idea what you're getting from him.
Yeah, it's just frustrating.
Cole Beasley, Bryce Butler, Terrence Williams, what do you think?
I think Bryce Butler is a receiver you could go to if you're like absolutely desperate for a shot. Not really a shot in the dark. I actually think he's played pretty well. I think he and Prescott
so
have been
Beasley,
okay.
Beasley, though, no?
Yeah, no, Beasley's better. I'm not trying to to make the case for Butler over Beasley. But I think Butler has some synergy with Prescott going back into the preseason. And I think if you just need, let's say you went up against Larry Fitzgerald and you're down 20 points already. So you need somebody with a lot of potential. I think Butler is somebody who can qualify there. It just depends on like him versus Quincy Enunwa. Enunwa's probably safer, but
he's
I think the ceiling is Butler.
Let's rank.
I think still so. Enunwa.
I don't think so.
I don't know why Terrence Williams isn't in this conversation. I mean, what's wrong with him?
He's at the tail end of it.
All right, let's rank these four quarterbacks as we wrap up the show. Dalton, Prescott. That could be a name, Dalton Prescott. I like that. Dalton, Prescott, Jameis Winston.
Dalton Prescott.
Derek Anderson.
Dalton, Winston, Anderson, Prescott.
Yep, that's how I have it, exactly.
Tampa Bay at Carolina. Anybody that we would normally start that we wouldn't start this week? It's a good matchup, right?
Panthers secondary is banged up.
Yeah.
And they might be benching Ben Whitney.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I liked him. Ben Wickery. I guess I was wrong. So
been Ben Stinkery.
Now, he says he hasn't been benched yet. He said he's going to rebound from last week's poor game. But Bradbury, I think they're moving him. They might be benching him, too. I don't know. Their secondary is a mess right now.
Yeah,
or maybe Bradbury's hurt. I'll look it up.
And their pass rush has been bad.
Humphreys or Beasley this week?
Beasley.
Humphreys
really laid an egg last week. That's going to make people run to the hills.
Yeah, but this is a better matchup. I mean, he played.
It is a better matchup, but it's also a great matchup for Evans and even for Vincent Jackson. Not that you're starting.
Look,
no, I'm starting Humphreys or Vincent
Humphreys
Jackson.
Could give you 8 for 80. No, 8 for 60.
Maybe
6 for 8. Six for 60.
You would have said the exact same thing last week. He had one.
Four
catch.
For one. I didn't say that last week. He played Denver last week. He's playing Carolina this week.
I think he's just a low-end option, Beth, at PPR.
Like, he might get you 10 points in the PPR.
Favorite running back in this game?
Honestly, it might be Fozzie Whitaker, because Charles Sims might not play. He's banged up.
He's going to play.
It's the toughest matchup for him.
Are we making fantasy football braid again?
Yeah.
That's a good sleeper this week. Very good.
So, no time for emails today. I responded to a bunch of emails and tweets before the hurricane yesterday. I'll try to do the same this weekend. But it's a pretty big weekend for me, guys.
It's a bachelor party.
Who's excited for me?
Let's get started. It's a bachelor party time right now. Jamie, go ahead, jump on the table and dance around.
I can't
I've got
wait.
Some milk.
So it's strippers and cocaine for you?
Yeah, no. More like Hurricanes and Seminoles. It's my kind of bachelor party. 20 tickets to the game tomorrow. My friends are flying in right now.
Will you
now.
Have any alcohol at your bachelor party?
Well, I personally, absolutely not.
No?
There will be alcohol.
James Bradbury is not going to play.
Oh, come on. Who cares?
By injury
all
or by
All we care
bachelor?
About is my Turf bachelor toe. Party.
Okay. Well, he's been, not going to be at your bachelor
I've
party
I've been so
either.
Excited for this Miami-Florida State game for the past, like, 3 or 4 weeks.
Is it going to be considered a bad bachelor party if the Seminoles win?
The Seminoles are going to win.
Look at you putting the reverse kibosh on.
They're so much better than Miami. It's ridiculous. Miami's played basically nobody. The Seminoles have played a very tough schedule, one of the toughest. So they're underdogs.
All right, so not only is Ben Wickery not going to play, Panthers just cut him.
What?
That's right.
Oh, somebody signed
Ben
that
Cuttery.
So
he
anyway.
Went from Ben Wickery to Ben Stinkery to Ben Cuttery.
And if you think things are good for Antonio Brown now, Darrelle Revis is not going to play.
Darrelle Revis is out. Okay.
Could this be another 6-touchdown game for Ben Roethlisberger?
If it's at home, it's always got a chance. Okay, that's it for the show, guys. I'm thrilled to be here. I can't wait for this weekend. We're going to talk on Monday. And
congratulations on the bachelor party.
Yeah.
Have fun, buddy. I'm glad Lab was able to go off for you, hurricane notwithstanding.
Yeah, me too. Unfortunately, some people were not able to make it, but most of the party will be there. So, party on, Dave.
Dave,
party
you're, going,
on,
you're going, right? You got invited.
No.
I would actually love for you guys to come to dinner tonight, if you're interested.
Where's wow. that?
A last minute invite.
I've been meaning to do this. I kept forgetting.
What
happened? Three people bailed. So now he's got empty seats.
No, we don't even have reservations.
There's two people here.
We're going to the best crab house, the Rustic Inn, at 7 o'clock.
Oh, that place, like, off the road where all those trailers are? Boats?
Maybe. It's unbelievable.
The one in,
What if I don't eat
crab? It's Kane, right? Oh, no.
So get a burger. Why don't you guys come to dinner? 7 o'clock.
Sweet.
We'll see you there. I'm Adam Azer for Dave Richard, JBS. Bye.
I hope everybody listens to this and South Border shows up.